I'm joined by Angela and William, who are Ochre Vanger, which is a band that I've been playing here. They're a duo. I've been playing the song Whiskey for Sorrow for the last couple of weeks, which I absolutely love. So good morning to Angie and Will.
Good morning, Michelle. Hi, thanks for having us.
You're really welcome. Loving the track, and we'll talk about it a little bit more as we go through the interview. So before you met Angie, you when did you actually get the music bug?
Oh, well, I grew up playing on a tiny little Charlie Brown piano. That was my very first instrument. And I have my father to thank for that. Kind of grew from there. I picked up the guitar age six. I don't really remember ever starting music because I think I always did it. It was very hard to keep me quiet. I was quite a noisy child.
Yeah. And what about yourself, Will?
Slightly later, I was a teenager, but I got the bug for guitar-driven music, and I wanted to play guitar, so I just started from there.
He wanted girls, Michelle. He wanted girls.
Now, how did you two get together?
Oh, it was music that brought us together.
Yeah.
We were playing at an open mic night, and we bumped into each other, basically, which was actually a good leveling ground, I guess, because if you've got a... the opportunity to hear somebody even before you hear them talk. I mean, I heard Will play, he heard me play, and then he approached me and said, loved what you're doing, all that sort of thing. But it was a lovely way to meet. Music has always been sort of the grounding of our relationship, I would say.
And have you come in from different styles of music? Is that how you've got your blend of the band?
Definitely. I mean, we've both got some individual taste that the other isn't so keen on, but then we've also got some stuff that we both agree a lot on.
Yeah, we sort of find common ground in folk music, world music, instrumental music, but then obviously on the side, you know, I love my film music. I'm a massive I studied classical music. Will's got his heavy metal, so yeah, it's broad reaching, I would say. Our CD collection and our vinyl collection is pretty eclectic.
and how does that work with your writing? Do you just write whatever comes out? So you might
absolutely
do something a bit more folky, or it might be a little bit more rocky or a bit more classical.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm. And I'm a big fan of I stockpile music as well. So Will and I tend to write the instrumental stuff together, and we play it out. We'll pick up an idea, and when I say we play it out, we kind of just jam it. We'll try a couple of different ideas, and then we'll score it out just to get it down. We also sell our music as well, sheet music. Yeah, and we do a lot of music workshops on the side. So that's one side of it. But then the songwriting, I guess, the songs I always said write themselves. I have very little control. You know, I dream in music, and I'll wake up sometimes and think, oh, is that mine?
Yeah.
Is that something I was listening to on the radio? Try and capture it and write it. And then if it's not good for now, I'll just save it. I'll just stockpile it. And Will's very good at, he's almost like the keeper of my music, because he will say to me, oh, but what about that song that you wrote? I'll be like, Joanna, that's on the album, Will saved that song because I wrote it, and then I decided I didn't like it. And Will's like, we're definitely doing that song.
Yeah. It is one of those things too, if people that don't write music or write songs, it is a thing of you have to write it out, and you have to get rid of it. with music
to.
Isn't it?
And it's a blessing and a curse, isn't it?
I guess because when I hear Angie's songs, when she's writing new songs, I'm not really thinking about it from a bandmate musical perspective. I'm just purely thinking about it from a listener perspective, like how it kind of makes me feel. That's kind of why,
yeah,
the way I approach that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because obviously, Will is very much the keeper of our songs. I have a habit of recording stuff, so I do record all my music ideas.
Mm.
I have journals as well where I write down ideas. But, Bluebird, I wrote a long time ago, and it was just the right time to bring it out. And that's it's at the end of the album now, track 9 on the album.
Mm.
And we've had some really lovely recognition for that. It's taken the album in a whole other direction. because we've been played on folk shows, we've been played on commercial radio shows, you know, BBC introducing, picked up on that. It's just been amazing. And they're all very different. All the songs are very different.
I was going to say, the you know, your debut album, you got Best Instrumental Album, that was award-winning, and then you had Tales of IAM as well. Then you had...
EM, sorry,
there we go. I knew I was going to get something wrong.
The spelling's completely different.
Dance of the Copper Trail, is that right? Went on to complete sell-out shows. You had a nine-month tour from that, and as you said, Cambridge Folk Festival, and you've been played on all the major stations as well, which is incredible. How has lockdown been for you? Because, you know, for obviously most musicians, venues have been shut, festivals have been not going on. So what's happened for you?
I think it's been incredibly hard, certainly just from a financial point of view. You know, musicians, certainly a large part of our sales for merchandise is off the back of shows. And so financially it was tough. But we're very lucky. We also, we've got a couple of different projects that we have on the side. So I know it hasn't been as hard for us as it has been for other people. We've done a lot of tutoring online. We've massively picked up stuff online. Yeah. I guess a plus, if there was anything that's come out of this, fairly stressful experience was, a lot of musicians were around. They were available. Yeah. So when we were putting the album together and we reached out to Patsy Reed, who's amazing, she's based up in Scotland, Thomas Johansson, he's in LA, you know, we were so fortunate because everybody had that time to contribute. And I was mixing with, I was mixing with TJ, he's on LA time, and I think there were some days, certainly towards the end, where I was getting up at 1 a.m., to mix with him, because we did everything online. It was a bit crazy. But, you know, we got things done. Whereas I think, you know, the old way of doing things, you book the studio time, you book people's time. And and so it had a very organic feel. The one song that we did, which was Birds of You, we converted our spare room, didn't we? Willingly or unwillingly, I don't know. That was great. So we innovated. We became more creative. And it was only a good thing, I think, for all of us.
Yeah.
I don't know how it was for you being, you know, what you do, but I think there are some things that we will take forward now from this.
Yep.
And it will only benefit us, but super stressful in a lot of other ways.
Now, the third album, which is Oak of Anger, which is out now, that's doing really, really well for you. Are you going to be going out and trying to arrange to do some sort of more gigs touring towards the end of the year, or not sure yet?
I think certainly we would like to be able to do that. Everything is very unsure, and it seems like most venues are doing plan A, plan B, plan C. So plan A is obviously, you go ahead. Plan B is, well, you know, we might have to do it virtually. Plan C is, you might want to do this from home virtually.
Yeah.
So it seems like everybody's a lot more flexible. And so I think that's something to look at. I mean, we haven't planned a massive tour, only because it was just very hard to do that. And a lot of things have rolled over from last year. So that's been the other challenge, because everybody's... It's a bit like the holidays, isn't it? I don't know whether you've tried to book time away, Michelle.
Yes. We must just say a big good morning to a wonderful music supporter based in Chelmsford. He's been on my show, and I know him quite well, Anver Anderson.
Oh, Anver. Hi, Anver.
He likes to get a mention, you know, every now and again.
Oh, yeah. Anver, we've known Anver for many years.
Yeah.
He's an amazing, he's an amazing supporter. And, a huge music lover.
Yes.
I think that certainly this album for us, coming out of lockdown, I guess we found some freedom, which maybe we didn't feel we had before. So we were very eclectic in the songs that we put out on the album. We've got the folk, the trad, the country. We've got a little bit of everything, because we're sort of a hybrid of musical genres anyway.
Yeah.
As you said, we started off as an instrumental guitar duo. But I think, you know, good music is good music. And Anver, I know, he knows me from way back. As I said, you know, we're just very fortunate that people have stuck with us over all these years.
Yeah. Now, I love Whiskey for Sorrow. I love it. As soon as it comes on, it puts me in a fantastic mood for a start, and it gets my foot going.
Thank you.
Straight away. So, and it's really hooky as well because you get into that chorus. How did that song come about pretty quickly, or did it take some, you know, some songs take a long time to get to the end? Was this a quick song or it took a while?
Oh, yeah, no. This one was a song I wrote on the road. We were in...
Oh, God, what was the place? It was called Coombe Martin. It's a town in North Devon.
Yeah.
And there's a pub there, like a very famous old building called the Pack of Cards, which has 52 rooms like a pack of cards.
Yep. Seven chimneys, 52 windows. It's an old gambling den because North Devon is where you used to get all the illicit cargo being offloaded on the beaches.
Yes, yeah.
So we were on tour. I had a bit of a drama, really. We were playing in a folk club, and I lost my voice because I had an allergic reaction, and my chest closed up. And so I was sitting there in this gig. I'm allergic to dogs. There's been a dog in the room. I lost my voice, but everybody started approaching me at intervals and saying, oh, now if you try Fisherman's Friends with whiskey, that'll bring your voice back. And then somebody else said, no. Yeah, no, you need vodka. And then people were plying me with alcohol to try and get my voice back.
Yeah, it worked,
well, the good thing about alcohol is it does open up your bronchi. Right?
Yeah.
It actually does open up your chest.
Mm.
So I did get my voice back. So it's a song of the road. I mean, I'm not trying to advocate, you know, drinking away your sorrows in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
But it did occur to me that, you know, it's a song of the road. It kind of sums up my lifestyle. And it was a very quick song. And John Parker is playing on that song, isn't he?
Yeah, double bass, yeah.
He came up and did it there on the day before lockdown, actually. He did it there in the studio with us. And so it's got that real kind of rootsy feel. It kind of makes you want to move. And music that makes you want to move is good for business.
Yes.
It's you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine doing that one live is just a good crack, as they say, over in Dublin. So if people want to find out more about you, as I said, the album Onga Venga is out now, and the track Whiskey for Sorrow is which I've been playing on the show. You can go and find online. But you've got your own website, and you're on Facebook as well.
Facebook,
yes,
Twitter, Instagram, the usual.
Yes, we are. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We've got our own website, okavanga.com, and we're selling the music directly off Bandcamp, but you can also stream it as well. So,
And again, it's important, as I always say, if you do like any of the artists that I play on this show, and that's why I always tag them, it always helps if you would like to buy a song. And you can buy most songs for 99 pence, and you can get albums for probably about £5 or £10. And it just means that money goes back in to carry on recording.
Always appreciated, of course.
Otherwise, it'll just be for the rich people to record. And we don't want that. We want everybody to be able to have access to be able to write and record and produce music. So,
yes. I mean, I think in this day and age as well, you know, now that we've got so much facility with technology, it has really opened up the doors for, you know, so many songwriters and so many musicians. Mm. I mean, you only have to look at TikTok, and I know it's a bad example, but you only have to look at TikTok, which is fine. I love it. People making music.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, the fact that a traditional sea shanty got to number one on the British chart, basically through TikTok.
Too late.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. I'm a little bit addicted to TikTok at the moment. I do love it. I love it's full of the weird, wonderful, but as you said, there's a great music presence there as well. And if you get on to if the track goes, it you basically, you know, get millions of people listening to your music, which is great.
Yes, it's absolutely brilliant. We've been really super fortunate with the album, and we've cut it on vinyl, which was a big move for us. Up listening to vinyl, ironically, shows my age, but long before the invention of CDs, and we just took a bit of a chance. But it's been really interesting. Like, that's been another growth market during lockdown. Mm. I think people have turned to sourdough bread making, Michelle.
Yes,
that's been a big thing. But B, just returning to the things that you can take a bit longer with, and listening to vinyl is such a pleasure.
Yes.
So we've sold a lot of vinyl, which was a super big surprise to us, because I was like, oh, everybody streams these days. It's been amazing just to see how that's taken off.
It's wonderful to talk to you. I'm going to end the interview with your fantastic song, Whiskey for Sorrow. And if you do want to find out more about the band, you can find them, as I said, right the way across social media and on their website as well. Great to talk to you both. Thanks ever so much. And hopefully later on in the year, we might be able to get you in to come and play live.
That would be amazing. Thank you so much, Michelle.
You're welcome. Have a great day. Thanks ever so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was wonderful. Great to talk to Angie and Will there from Okavanger.